back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime. KK and Lo here. We're back again another week in person. Now, I don't mean to be like pulling the curtain back on things, but it is technically the same night we are pre-recording.
Oh, you gave away our secrets.
I know. It's usually not. We're usually literally week by week. But we're together, and I'm leaving the state
for forever.
Like, no. Forever.
Hell no, I wouldn't even let her move to Northville. I think I want to let her leave the state.
Don't worry. I'm only going for like 4 days. Four days? 4 or 5 days, something like that. So we're squeezing them in one night. You get to hear us, our vibes in person. Vibes in person are immaculate.
Well, since now they know it's the same night, we can be like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-
guys. We are in the clear.
Paris, we love you.
Always.
Nikki. So I don't know exactly your story. I just saw the name of it because we share a Google Doc.
Yes.
And I was working on something and hers popped up and I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm just like, I didn't read it, but I'm like, intrigued, right? So it's called Teen Vampire.
Teen Vampire.
Which kind of reminded me, this has nothing to do with your story. But Anna Kendrick was back on Dax Shepard again.
Oh, yes, I listened to that.
And wasn't it so cute? Or was it? I don't know. I listened to her twice because she was on Color Daddy, too.
Yes, I listened to that one, too.
Okay.
I listened to both.
Okay. And I love it when she's like, oh, yeah, I was in Twilight. I forget that I was in that. Like,
yes.
And she's talking about, she's like, people are like, how's it feel to be in Twilight? She's like, oh, yeah, I was in that, wasn't I? Like, and I just kind of thought of that when
That's
I saw
funny.
Your, you know, Vampires Twilight went down a whole thing in my head.
Yeah.
Right? And then it made me think of the Anna Kendrick. And I love how she was talking about, like, when she did the cup song, she's like, I'm just going to do it for this movie.
Yes, I didn't know that.
And then she's like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed for you guys. You're going to make that a real song? That's so embarrassing that you're using it. And then it went fucking platinum.
Literally, went like number one. People were obsessed. I remember being in school doing that and like doing it with the cups, you know?
I got little videos of Charlotte trying to do it and stuff. It was
like
so funny.
Such a big thing. And yeah, I thought that was so funny when she was like, you guys are weird. That's embarrassing.
I know. I love her and I love the Pitch Perfects. Judge me, but I love them.
No, I do too. So no
so
judgment for
that
me.
That was kind of, I thought that was,
that's
I just wanted
so
to
funny.
Say that because I saw the teen vampire and I thought of that.
Yeah, if you guys haven't watched her, Dex or Alex Cooper Call Her Daddy episodes, they're so good. I mean, she's good on like literally everything she does. She's so funny. I think she's funny because she's like kind of sarcastic and dry humor too, but like she's also like quirky too, so.
I know her name is Alice Cooper, but every time Alice Cooper pops up, I think of the singer Alice Cooper.
Oh, well, her name's Alex.
Oh, I thought you said Alice.
It does sound like that, though. I said it fast, so it probably did sound like
okay.
that. Alice Cooper.
I just know the name of the show, I guess. Yeah, I guess I did know it was Alex.
No, but it probably did sound like I said that, because I did say it kind of fast. But, no, that's funny. But, yeah, so I think we have, like, well, the main story I'll get into, but then I think we have, like, a couple of other news pieces to go over as well. Do you want to kick us off or do you want me to kick us off?
Well, I was just going to, two little things. One, by the way, Kay, I don't know when, but when I call you, you're going to be available. Whatever day I say, there is no excuse. Do you understand?
Maybe? Question mark. I don't know where this is going.
Marshall is going on tour.
Okay, but if it's, I have a price point limit.
Okay, whatever. I will sell my kidney. I don't, whatever we gotta do.
See, I love him, but
You don't even have to pay for the ticket. I'll pay for the ticket.
You can't pay, if it's that expensive where I'm not gonna pay for it, I'm not allowing you to pay for mine.
Well, this
yours.
Is what I'm thinking, that it's Eminem. He's from Detroit. He's a Detroit local.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kind of give him the benefit that he's going to kind of go like the Kid Rock or like the hometown cheaper tickets because...
I hope so. And like, hopefully there'll be like multiple shows so they're, it doesn't like sell out super fast. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's going to.
It's going to. But like, if he has more than one show here, then it might make it a little bit easier.
Someone else just said that they feel like, I think it was a radio station, they feel like he's going to do 3-4 shows in Detroit because he's from Detroit.
He should. So I hope he does.
So I'm just telling you.
Okay. I got you. I'll have to telepathically know. And then I'll have to search it up. And then I'm hoping that they're not that
I'm going to call you. It's going to be like the Ben Affleck thing. Like,
yeah.
We're going to go do some stuff. We might get hurt.
Right. And I'm going to be like, all right, I know.
We're never going to talk about it. And
then you're going to be like, M&M's in town.
Whose car we're taking? So I'm just letting you know. Like,
okay.
But, the beard is coming to Detroit.
But I am saying, if the price point's not there, I'm out. Because even Post Malone, I love Eminem, but I'm more of a Posty girl than an Eminem girl.
Bitch, I flew all the way to Nashville to see him perform, and then he comes to Detroit.
But no, but his tickets here are so stupid expensive that I'm not even going to that, and I love him.
They're saying that the flight, the tickets, everything to get to Nashville to watch him was cheaper than the tickets to watch him here in Detroit.
Like, what the heck? I don't understand. Posty, why?
Because he's got Jelly Roll with him.
I love Jelly Roll,
and
too.
And somebody else is cut there, too.
I don't know. I did hear Jelly Roll, but...
It's a chick.
Okay. I'll have to look
that up. I don't know who.
Or I don't even want to know, because I'm not going, so don't tell me.
I feel like it's a chick.
Don't tell me who I'm missing out on. So, yeah, I'm just saying, I will go, but there is a price point limit that I will not surpass. Because if I don't surpass it for Posty, I won't surpass it for Eminem.
And I bet you Eminem's going to have a crew. I bet you 50 Cent will be with him.
Oh, he's going to have a cool, like, lineup, I'm sure.
And he's got to probably plan it, because he's kind of probably got to plan it around Haley's baby due date.
Oh, yeah, true. True, true, true.
So maybe that's when, honestly, when she's due, that's probably when he's going to hit Detroit.
Yeah, honestly, that would make the most sense. That would be, like, great dad choices there.
Okay. And then on a serious note, and I'm, so on Christmas Eve around 6:30, there was a crazy ass Flint man in our town, and I don't know if it was drugs or intoxication. I feel like drugs of some sort had to be a part of it.
For sure.
But he drove sporadically and then erratically, and then he went into a ditch. And he made it so people would run to see if he was okay. And then he would try to basically shoot them or take their car. And he did this a couple times. One of them, I think, was a pregnant woman. Another one, he tried to get the woman in the vehicle, but she took off. He started shooting while she was running. She managed to get away. He was going to steal her car, but for some reason he couldn't operate it, it said. So my point of this is not only is it shitty because it's Christmas Eve and 6:30, mm-hmm. One person did die. A couple of them are healing. It also sucks because it's all around the high school, and everybody knows the high school shooting is still big around here, and it did give some people PTSD. And then, of course, the news and tabloids had to use the high school as the cover photo for the story. Can we maybe not do that? They're not related.
That's crazy to me.
But my thing is, I want to say there's so many scams out there now. I just showed my daughter this one. People are putting drugs in, like, $20 bills and folding it and putting it on the ground. And then you pick up the money, and then you pass out because the drugs gets on your skin,
yep.
And then you become a sex traffic victim forever. And so we have to, in this world, unfortunately, be very vigilant, and you can't stop to help anybody anymore. You call 911 as you're passing, I guess. Hey, welfare check, I just passed this. But there's been, you know, the baby carriers on the freeway where you think there's a baby in it, or a pregnant woman just in distress, you stop to help her, and then the man jumps out and takes your car. Like, scams are getting more and more elaborate, and it's just a very crazy, dangerous world out there, and it just sucks. So be very careful. You think you're doing a good deed, and you can't do good deeds anymore because people are sick. Don't pick up money off the ground. I showed it to my daughter. I actually showed it to one of my clients, Evelyn Johnson.
Okay.
Yes, she's, oh my God, so adorable. And I showed it to her, and she's like, oh my God, I have to tell my daughter. And, you know, so I felt like I passed it on. And she's like, I got to tell my neighbors. And so just be very, very careful out there, because this world is not all sunflowers and daisies. So
yeah. Literally, I couldn't have said it. I said this last episode, too. I couldn't have said it better myself. Like, it's just so sad that, like, how much the world has changed where, like, you can't go and help people. Because, you know, I feel like probably most of the time it's fine and you are probably just helping someone, but you really never know. So to take that risk is scary because it could end your life or change your life forever. You know, God forbid anything bad happen when you're literally just seeing if somebody's okay, and it's just people are sick and evil, and it's just really sad that things like that occur. And especially like that story that you just told on Christmas Eve. I think that my mind is thinking he was on drugs or something just from how he was acting, but I don't even, that's not even an excuse. Like, you're just a messed up person to do that to people.
Absolutely. So just, yeah, be vigilant, watch your back, watch your front, watch everything. Talk to your kids, talk to your family. Just,
yeah.
Eyes and ears open.
Yep. Unfortunately, that's how it has to be. Hate it, but
yeah, it's protect true. Yourself, protect your family.
Yeah. Definitely. Another sad news event that's happened. I'm sure you guys have heard about the New Orleans killer, the guy who went on a rampage. He was like using his car, ramming, killing people, just going through the streets of New Orleans. So it was on Bourbon Street, and FBI are calling it an act of terrorism. They've confirmed so far that it was a pickup truck, and it killed at least 10 people and injured dozens. And they're still, you know, investigating everything. But, yeah, it was crazy. Like, this person drove a car into a crowd of people on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, which I've been to that street before, it's booming. There's a lot of people, even when it's not like, you know, Mardi Gras time. Like, it's, I mean, that's like excessive, lots of people, but like, it's like a major, huge, popular street. And so the amount of people that were on that street when this car was just plowing through people is insane. Like, yeah. And the subject also, they're saying, is now deceased. So the guy died. I don't know if he killed himself or what happened, but they are investigating this as an act of terrorism. I guess, like, the truck was trailing a piece of black fabric and crashed into a crane blocking Bourbon Street. And the killer engaged police in a firefight, and that's what happened. He ended up getting shot dead, so they did kill him. Two officers were also wounded in the shootout, but they're in stable condition, luckily. But yeah, literally at least 35 people were injured, while the FBI said improvised explosive devices were found in the car, suggesting that the carnage would have been even worse if law enforcement hadn't stopped the killer. Like, he would have done way more damage. You know, they said that he was trying to run over as many people as he possibly could. And yeah, it's just crazy and terrible. I saw some videos of it, and it's just ridiculous. They don't even know how he gained access to the street, because it's not like a drivable street or whatever. So I don't know if he just plowed his way through. I'm assuming that's what happened, but...
Well, you can't... You can't break down crazy. You can't...
Yeah.
I mean, crazy is crazy, and they're going to find a way, and they're going to do what they do, and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just... Literally, like we were just saying, this, like, everything's just so insane. People are crazy. If, like, things are getting more violent, more and more stuff is happening, and it's like, what's going on with the world?
I don't know, but Eminem's coming.
You know, that's nice. You're focusing on the positive. Everybody, that's the lesson to be learned. Just try and... You know, the world's going to be shitty, but just try and
focus. But Marshall's here.
But just try and focus on the boss. It's
peanut butter and jelly on gold, baby. In the words of Snoop Dogg.
Oh my gosh, Lou. That's so funny. But yeah, in all seriousness, just we are also, of course, giving our thoughts to all the people that died and were injured and everybody's family and everything in that, because... Again, a horrific event. You're just walking Bourbon Street, trying to have a fun time, and some psycho decides to plow through with his truck, so.
It is scary, because it's everywhere, it's anywhere, there's no rhyme or reason, and you can't live in a bubble, but it's scary to know that at any event, something could happen.
I know. It's terrifying because it's like, you don't, it makes you want to live in a bubble because it's like, I could go to freaking Target and something could happen. It's like so wild.
I mean, it sounds funny, but it's not funny. But like, when I go to a bank, I think I've talked about this before. If I go to the bank or like, there's a certain 7-Eleven that I stop at when I clean Miss Betty's house. Miss Betty, I miss you. She'll be back in May. She's a Florida bird.
Jealous.
But I always stop at the certain 7-Eleven, and or even like some little party stores, like if I have to run in and just get like a quick snack.
Yeah.
With it being cold, I leave my car running. I lock the door.
Right.
But I leave the car running, especially to keep it warm. And I always take my cell phone because I think like, I need my cell phone because what if?
Yep.
And then when I'm in the store or in line at the bank, I'm always thinking, like, if something happens right now, what's my game plan? I'm looking like, where's my exit strategy? Where am I going to hide? What I want to do? How would I get out of here? And that's what my brain is doing, why I'm in line at the bank. Mm-hmm. Or not that I go to the bank very often anymore, but, like, in line at
the gas station
that happens to me, yeah. Or, like, 7-Eleven, the party store. Wherever I'm at, you can probably guaranteed I've sat there and figured out the best place to hide, or if someone came in here, like, what is my strategy? And is it I'm by myself, or do I have my child with me? You know, like, it's, there's always a game plan rolling in my head. But that's what I feel like I'm conditioned to do. Like,
yeah. And it's so good that you do that. And like, I need to be better about that. Cause like, I'll go into certain places and I'll think like, ooh, what if something happened right now? But like, I'm not always like having a game plan, but it's good that you do and you should, but it's also at the same time so sad that like we have to do that.
I know.
I hate it, but like we said before, it's the world we live in, and better safe than sorry, better to be prepared, because it's just crazy. You really literally never know.
I know. I only pray that if something was to happen, that God almighty, the 400 datelines that we've watched, something will kick in.
I know. Like, you would think, right? Like, we've talked about so many things. We've watched and listened to so many things. You'd think it would, like,
all these things would run through your mind and be like, okay, don't do this, do that, you know, go here, don't say this, hide here. Like, you would think. But then I'm, like, so scared that if something were to happen, my brain would just freeze.
Well, it's fight or flight, and most people probably flight because you don't know how you're going to act until it happens. And then when it does happen, you're like, it's almost like everything you learn just goes out the door because you're just in a panic now of, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not that I've ever had that situation happen to
me. Right, but to only imagine.
But I can understand why so many people turn to more panic because all you can think of is like, nope, this is it, I'm done.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it's crazy because, yeah, like you said, you never know until you're in that situation. But I'm like, please, internal me, like, don't freeze, just do something.
See, that's why I got Life 360 on your ass.
I know. Well, hey, I mean, if I'm like in a situation like that, it won't matter. I'll be stuck there if I got...
Yeah, but if I'm texting you and calling you after a certain point, yeah, I usually know. Like, if I text you, you usually... Maybe not right back, but right. I hear from you that day.
Yeah.
And...
you're like, you've been in that gas station for 12 hours now. Is everything okay? Have you gotten a side job or something?
Are you making a music video?
Yeah. Like, what's happening? Oh, craziness.
Do you have a night job?
Yeah. What, did you, like, pick up some extra shifts here?
Ugh. All right, so, Kay, I'm intrigued, and I'm kind of excited to hear what this is, judging by the title. So, tell us about the Teen Vampires.
Yes. So, Teen Vampire, a.k.a. a guy named Rod Farrell. He was a self-proclaimed vampire, and he was also a cult leader, and he became the youngest person to go on Florida's death row. And let me tell you why. This guy lived a very interesting life of crimes, I will say. So, Rod Farrell, he claimed to be a 500-year-old vampire, and he formed a group of teenagers who regularly visited cemeteries and drank each other's blood.
Okay, so you got some people to drink the Kool-Aid right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Okay,
yeah.
So we got some Manson vibes going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super crazy. Like, he really found people that he could manipulate and really believe that he was a 500-year-old vampire. And yeah, it's crazy. So, he was 16 years old, and like I said, he was a self-proclaimed vampire, and he did some really crazy shit. So, Roderick, or Rod Farrell, he got people who would go to the graveyard, and it eventually ended with the murders of two people. And this happened in the 90s, 1996 specifically. So, a little bit about Mr. Rod, Mr. Teen Vampire. He was born in Murray, Kentucky, which is a little bit over 100 miles northwest of Nashville, Tennessee. And he was raised by his young mother, Sandra Gibson. Authorities cited that he definitely had a troubled childhood. Kind of, they gathered that could be the reason why he was, like, really drawn to the dark stuff. He did also say that he was raped by his maternal grandfather. His name was Harold Gibson, at the age of 5. So he definitely had a very, very troubled, dark time growing up. So, psychologists said that his grandfather
Harold Gibson allegedly had his friends gang rape Rod as a child, which is horrific if that is true. That's coming from Central Florida's Daily Commercial. And during the 1998 trial, Rod's maternal aunt testified that Harold Gibson, so his grandfather, also sexually abused both her and his mother, Sandra. So there are people also backing up saying that, yeah, he was this kind of a guy. So, you know, it makes me think that that is true, and that's just heartbreaking. Like, to be 5 years old and you're raped by your grandfather and you're gangbanged by his friends, that's the most sick thing that I've ever heard.
Yeah, I want to go shoot the guy in the face.
Right, and it's like no wonder he had psychological issues moving forward in his life. Like, that's such a horrible experience. And his grandfather, Harold, he has never been charged in connection with those claims, so he never got arrested for any of that. But I'm just like, that is horrible.
Yeah, I don't understand. As a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not only is it one sick SOB, but there's a group of you.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just sickening. He's a little boy. He's your grandson. It's just disgusting. People are, moral of today's episode is that people are foul and horrible and disgusting. Like,
they're just fucked up.
And like his aunt had said that, you know, his grandfather had done that. So it was his mother's dad, and he had done that to his mother as well. She obviously had issues too, because...
But then why would you leave your son with him?
I know, that's what you would think. I don't know what the mental... I don't know what was going on, but she had issues too, because she was an admitted sex worker who later was a part of Rod's group of blood-drinking people. And she was later painted by the prosecution as a mentally ill woman who literally attempted to have sex with a 14-year-old teen boy as a part of a ritualistic act. And this comes from information that the Daily Commercial had. She did deny the claims in court that she and Farrell were beyond romantic. But I'm just like, I'm only like, what, 4 sentences into this whole situation, and it's already so fucked.
It's definitely not Anna Kendrick Twilight.
No, definitely different, definitely different teen vampire vibes on this one. Oh, just like a horrific situation from top to bottom. So, they both, mother and son, reportedly moved between Murray, Kentucky and Eustis, Florida, which is 40 miles northwest of Orlando, after Gibson's parents moved to the area when Rod was about 10 years old. So I included a picture for Lo to see too, but these were his members to his, quote, vampire clan that was in Kentucky.
Scott Anderson is ready to go.
He was, yeah, if you guys look up this photo.
He is so Cobra Kai right now.
I was going to say, he looks like he's ready to karate chop you. There is, yeah, Scott Anderson, Karate Kid. Charity Kesey, who, I mean, she looks very normal. Also, Dana Cooper. They look like normal kids, but behind the scenes, man, they were into some
weird shit. Rod's picture is like, okay, he's the leader, but like, mm-hmm. he also will meet up, but he's got to go to marching band first.
Yeah.
Okay. he's carrying one of those, you know, band
the holders.
Things with the violin in it, you know, whatever. Dana Cooper is ready to go, but she's got some homework to finish up in the library real quick. And she's also got the school newspaper editor that she's got to tackle first. And then you got Scott Anderson, who is totally a Cobra Kai. He's got some karate he's going to do.
I love the backstory for each of them.
And then he's going to go. And then you got Charity, who is borderline the sweet girl, but at the same time, she's just like, do you want to, like, go sit, like, on a cliff and just, like, smoke a joint in the woods and just be, like, the beautiful disaster person? The,
oh, my gosh.
The, what is it? The, what do they call it? The...
like, the in distress, the... Is that what you're thinking? Mistress in distress?
Not like a dark poet, but the, like, what do they call them? Like, the,
like, artsy, dark, kind of, like, poetic kids or whatever.
Yeah, like, she likes to draw and paint or whatever. She's probably listening to Stone Temple Pilots on her Walkman or Discman. Maybe an iPod. I don't know. I can't remember what year you said this was.
96, so I don't okay, think iPod so, yet.
Okay, so, yeah, she has her, you know, her little Discman, and she's got some Stone Temple Pilots and Nirvana playing.
Oh, my
She's got a cute little plaid on, but what you don't know is she's wearing it with a skirt and some combat boots. She's a little
late. So, Lo is painting you guys the actual most perfect picture. I don't know these people, but, like, if you looked at their pictures, that was, like, an A+. A++ description of each of them. You need to go look at their pictures immediately because and listen to this at the same time because it was like the most perfect description ever. I feel like I know them now. You know what I mean? Like I feel like I know their backstories. That was perfect.
Thanks. Thanks.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Vampire Clan.
Or I just aged myself who was in high school in the 90s.
Oh, that was perfect. So, yeah, they were now in Kentucky. And Rod, who was kind of following in his mom's footsteps as someone clearly who had a deep interest in vampirism, which I didn't even know was a word, vampirism, he presented himself to people shamelessly. He, you know, he wasn't shy about this, as a 500-year-old vampire named Visago. And Florida Spectrum News was the one who reported this. I don't know if that's like an old vampire name, Visago, or if he just kind of like came up with it himself. But yeah, that was his ancient name. And prior to them moving, he met 15-year-old teen who was a little bit troubled herself, Heather Wendorf, in Florida. And even after Rod moved back to Kentucky for his sophomore year of high school, they stayed in touch as friends. And Heather's parents, Richard Wendorf and Naomi Ruth Queen, were reportedly very angry due to collect calls from Rod to Heather because of all of the fees that just, like, built up between all of their phone calls. So, he's at this point, when they moved, more than 800 miles away from her, and his mom's got this obsession with this role-playing game called Vampire the Masquerade. And clearly that seemed to rub off onto her son, Rod. And this is when Rod started to get together the local teens, including his girlfriend. She was 16. That's Charity, the one that Lo was just describing, was his girlfriend. as well as 19-year-old...
As you are, as I watch you.
Oh my gosh. Literally, Lo, make this into a movie. Seriously. But yeah, Charity was involved, and then he got 19-year-old Dana Cooper and 16-year-old Howard Scott Anderson to also take part in his growing vampire cult. So, you know, they were typical goth kids, what you would expect. They wore the black gothic clothing. They hung out in cemeteries. And I feel like that's like the baseline of like gothic kids or whatever. But then they started to cut themselves and drink each other's blood. Now that takes it to a whole nother level for me. I feel like there's goth and then there's like psychotic. And they definitely reached that level. So, yeah. On October 14th, 1996, Rod and one of the other cult members with him, they vandalized the Murray Calloway County Animal Shelter. And this is the part that makes me so upset, because Lo knows me, and you guys hopefully know me by now. They killed two puppies. Two puppies in the animal shelter after they vandalized it.
You gotta be pretty badass if you're going after an animal shelter. Seriously?
Like, that's insane.
Did you guys hit the nursing home after?
Right. Like, what is wrong with you?
Oh my god.
And they did it. They did it, like, I mean, killing them is just horrible as it is, but they did it in, like, a really gruesome way. And they also released just dozens of dogs that were inside of the shelter.
Ugh.
It's just terrible. So, at that point, the sheriff, Stan Scott, he talked to Murray, Ledger, and Times before he figured out Rod's identity. You know, they didn't know who did this at this point. And he, when they were kind of investigating this situation, he says, "We're dealing with some sick individuals and I want them caught." The sheriff says, "This goes way beyond a simple breaking and entering. One of these animals was literally stomped to death and the other had its legs pulled or cut off of it. This is a case of absolute vandalism and these people need to be caught." Is that not like so sick? You stomped on a puppy and then you cut the other puppy's legs off of it?
I feel like the exact same thing should happen to them.
Yeah, that's why I agree. Let's do it. I agree because, oh, that just like burns an angry fire inside of my soul.
Yeah, we just had a conversation earlier.
We had
a lot of conversations. A friend of mine is, they foster dogs and they got one. And I was just telling her how like it's got a lot of issues and they decided that they couldn't afford the medical bill that they think that it might have to get a tumor removed. So instead of even taking it, they didn't even take it to a shelter. They just opened up the door and basically let it go. Like
why?
Just dropped it off on the streets. Not even a shelter, not even a police station. No, can somebody take this dog? They're just like, bye. And just,
I don't understand.
This dog went from family to starving on the streets.
It's so insane because literally, you don't have to pay anything or do anything. If you were so embarrassed or something, you could literally just bring them to the shelter and leave. Like, you don't have to do anything. Like, that could be the simplest thing that you do. Because they'll take them and take care of them. But to leave them on the streets when they can't fully fend for themselves, or, like, if you tie them to a pole or something and they really can't fend for themselves.
Yeah, that's how my brother has telling her that. Yep. Their dog, it was tied. I also want to tell you that the dog that was rescued, it was a pit bull. Mm. And I just want to say that because everybody's like, oh, pit bulls are so ravaged. They'll eat your face. They'll do this. This dog has been through so much distress and it's got cancer and it's got a tumor that looks like it has balls hanging out from its leg, which they're going to remove that. So it'll be a little bit more comfortable. It's got half of its fur shaved off. So they got a, you know, cute little sweaters on and stuff. And when I tell you, like, it, you know, was a little barky at me. Not a vicious bark, more like a husky howling type bark. Like,
yeah.
And when I wanted to tell you, like, the dog been through all that, and I still knelt down as this dog is barking at me and saying, hey, baby. And it immediately stopped barking while I scratched its ears and pet its face. So, again, not all pit bulls are vicious, so let's stop giving pit bulls a bad rap.
No, I've
because
known...
if pit bulls all were like that, that would have been the dog that would have been like, I've been through so much, get the fuck out of my face.
Yes.
Yep. And it just was lovey and cuddly and so sweet. And I just feel so bad for that dog.
Yep. Yeah, I hate that when people give pit bulls a bad rap. I've known so many sweet babies who are just the sweetest, most gentle creatures ever who have pit bulls. So, I feel that. But yeah, some people are so terrible when it comes to anything with animals. But this definitely took it to a whole new level. Just, it's disgusting. So yeah, Sheriff Scott theorized that they were related to some kind of cult activity. He says, you know, because of the graphic nature of the crimes, which, you know, he was correct. We know now that it was a cult of weird teenagers. But by November 2nd, that same year, Rod and another were identified as suspects in that, and Sheriff Scott estimated that there were as many as 10 individuals in the group that called themselves the Vampire Clan. So at that point, Rod faced charges of animal cruelty, criminal attempt to commit burglary, and criminal trespassing. Meanwhile, you know, taking it back to his long distance friend in Florida, Heather Wendorf, she expressed her desire to run away from home, and according to court documents, the Vampire Clan members, Farrell, Kesey, Cooper, and Anderson, all drove to Florida under the pretense that Heather was being sexually abused by her father, and they reportedly planned to take her to New Orleans, where the group were planning to live together as a pack of vampires. So, I mean, I think it's nice that they were trying to save her friend if she was being abused by her father, because that's a terrible situation, and I think that's great that they wanted to go save her. But yeah, also, they're still not great people because they're, like, committing crimes and, like...
Yeah, can't they just, like, call the coroners? Or, like, I mean, that's more of a witch thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know what I mean? Like...
Right.
This is, like, even worse than, like, the Lost Boys.
Yes,
I mean, they're even more creepier than that. Like...
Yeah, for real.
Like...
Yeah, it's intense. And
they're definitely not sexy, like, Interview with the Vampire.
No.
But, I mean...
Yeah, a lot going on.
All these people have a lot of issues and stuff, but couldn't they have come together with, like, the outside crowd who didn't fit in, who has issues, and just watch the vampire stuff and watch Dracula and just, like, play Monopoly instead? Or yeah. Play, you know, okay, maybe not Monopoly because that's going to be too mainstream. Like, play, what's that one?
Dungeons and Dragons.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
Do some Dungeons and Dragons stuff. Like,
I feel like that would be, like, that would be their vibe. They should play that. Instead, like, of killing animals.
And, you know, maybe do some Mortal Kombat for the karate kid. You know, like, finish him. Like, stuff like that. Like, do we have to really go and cause trouble and havoc in the streets and hurt animals and people? Like,
right.
Dude, no. That's not... And because you have issues of stuff that happened to you, you're not... We don't pay it forward by causing harm on other... Things.
Yep. Oh. Yeah, they definitely did not get that message at all. Yeah, and they followed through with their plan to get Heather, because they got there on November 25th, and Rod and Howard, Karate Kid, a.k.a., they snuck through the unlocked garage of Heather's house in Florida. And the females of the group, they drove somewhere else to meet another friend. They weren't near the home at the time, according to court TV. So Rod first went up to her father, Heather's father, Richard Wendorf, when he snuck into the house. And her dad was sleeping on the couch. And this is when Rod decided to take it up a notch. You know, instead of just their original plan of saving Heather and taking her to New Orleans with them, Rod had a different plan in mind. He used a crowbar from the garage to bludgeon her 49-year-old father to death. And this comes from an 106-page appeal filed with the Supreme Court. I guess Rod proceeded to strike Richard Wendorf's head repeatedly with the crowbar, like, nonstop. And according to the court documents, Richard Wendorf died as a result of blunt impact to the head with skull fractures and brain lacerations.
Well, Heather, no take-backsies, so I hope you're happy with the ferns and squad you chose.
I'm like, did she know this plan? Like, did she know this was going to happen?
Oh, no, because now she's probably going to play the damsel in distress that I didn't know that was going to happen. Yeah. You were just supposed to X, Y, and Z.
Right, exactly.
But you brought crazy into your house, so.
Right, what did you expect? He's a vampire, guys. So, Richard Wendorf, he suffered no defensive wounds. The position of his body was consistent with the fact that he was asleep on the couch and completely unaware of the attack.
I hope these guys get hepatitis.
Gosh, for real. It's very specific, but yes. And later, Rod did confess to the murder. He told investigators, I just kept beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him, taking pleasure in it. And he said that, so he was like owning it. He was proud of it. And yeah. So after he beat her dad to death, him and Karate Kid searched the home for valuables. I'm going to refer to him as Karate Kid from now on. And they were caught off guard when her mother, Queen, came out of the shower and found them in the kitchen. Also, side note, what a name, Queen. She reacted by throwing a cup of scalding hot coffee onto Rod, and also scratched and clawed his face. Probably because she just thought there were intruders in her house and she had no idea what was happening. So she freaked out, tried to attack him because she was probably thinking, like, somebody broke into my house. Now, this is when Rod turned his craziness and attention back to Queen. She died as a result of chop wounds of blunt impact to her head, which resulted in skull fractures and a brain laceration. Queen's brain stem was severed, which resulted in almost instantaneous death. So, kind of very similar to the way that her husband died, just beating into her head.
It's only guess Rod was in love with Heather.
So he did it for her. I'm getting, like, they talked on the phone all the time, long distance. He was trying to be her hero and, like, save her, but it was just like,
well, I'm singing an Iglesias song.
I can be your hero, baby. But it turned into a very dark, heroic situation, obviously. So the couple was discovered the next day by their other child, 17-year-old Jennifer Wendorf. And that has to just be horrific to find your parents in that state. And during a 2019 hearing in which Rod was seeking resentencing, their daughter who found them, Jennifer, described being traumatized after finding her mother's brains scattered all over the kitchen and wondering, where did his face go when seeing her father's corpse on the couch? Which just really paints the picture of how brutal and gruesome these murders were.
So, which obviously means that Heather, whether she was upset about whatever happened to her dad, that she wasn't upset enough to stop it from happening to her mother.
Right. Like, well, I don't know if she was standing there at that point, because it just said that Queen had just seen Rod and Karate Kid, and she thought that they were, like, intruders, so that's why she was, like, throwing coffee on them and stuff. But still, Heather was, like...
I mean, she was there, so...
A part of it.
You feel like, as it's happening to her dad, she found out quickly or during.
Yeah.
So you would think there would have been some kind of, like, noise, scuffle, something.
Right. And you think she would run out and be like, stop, stop. Like, don't kill my parents. But no, I mean, and she left with them, too, like, afterwards. So she was... That she's guilty in my eyes, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I feel like with all those people, because there's four of them, that you, after the brutal, vile murder of her dad,
yeah,
like, nobody tried to stop him from taking out mom, too. Mm-hmm. So she so was probably like, okay, I guess we got to go full throttle. We can't leave. Right. Thank God her sister wasn't home.
I know, because she would have been the third victim, I'm sure. So, yeah, after Rod finished murdering her parents, him, Anderson, Kesey, Cooper, and Heather, they rode in her parents, so the murdered couple's Ford Explorer. They stole the car, and they headed for New Orleans. And they also use her dad, Richard's, credit card to purchase gas and a knife along the way. So it's just like the freaking cherry on top. You brutally murder him and then you steal his car and use his credit card. And it's like the extra disrespect. So while they were in Baton Rouge, Kesey called a relative who, after that, kind of told them a little bit of what happened. And they tipped off the other authorities because they were probably like, I'm not going to be involved in this. And all of the participants were arrested without incident on Thanksgiving Day. So it was November 28th, 1996, which was 3 days after the double homicide. And in statements to Louisiana authorities and to Florida detectives, Rod took most of the blame for the crimes, which public defenders argued in his appeal. I think he was proud of it. So he was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I did that. And yeah, I did that. And I, yeah, I'm the leader and all this stuff.
Or he was still trying to win Heather's affection. Like, I'll take the blame.
Right. Like, I was her savior.
It wasn't her. She didn't do it. She wasn't there. She
right.
was... or the famous, we were at the movies.
Right, yeah, literally.
We went to see, what is it, 90s?
Yeah.
You said
96.
We were at the 9 o'clock showing of Clueless.
Yeah, literally.
Because they look like they were watching us. Clueless.
So soon after Rod's murder trial began, and it didn't start until February 12th, 1998. It always starts like so much later than the crime happens. He was 17 years old at the point of when the murder trial started. He pleaded guilty to 2 counts of first-degree murder, armed burglary, and armed robbery. And then less than 2 weeks later, a jury returned with, of course, a unanimous verdict to have him sent to the electric chair. And at that point, that decision that was made, it made Rod Farrell the youngest person on Florida's death row. Circuit Judge Jerry Lockett told him, I think you are a disturbed young man. I think your family failed you, and I think society failed you. A lot of people were, like, in the public, were pretty against the harsh sentencing. Like, they thought, obviously, he was guilty of the crimes and should serve time, but a lot of people didn't think he should be sent to death row, mainly because of his horrific childhood and the way he was brought up and the way his mom was raising him. They were saying, like, he shouldn't go to the electric chair because he was kind of made this way. So,
well, then he should be gone that way.
Right, yeah. Everybody, I mean, that's like the big debate, but in 2000, the year, a decision by the Florida Supreme Court was made that bans juveniles from automatic death sentences. So his sentence then changed because of this law, which, I mean, there's been a few of similar situations that we've talked about in other cases before where they changed the law. So, yeah, his sentence was changed from death penalty to life without the possibility of parole. So he is spending the rest of his life in prison. Now, Heather, she faced two grand juries, but she was, this is so crazy to me, she was never charged in connection to her parents' deaths. However, the judge did urge prosecutors to seek an indictment, stating, like, there is genuine evil in this world. Basically saying, like, she's freaking evil and she knew bad stuff was happening, so.
I was in the bathroom at the time.
Right, yeah, I don't know. It's just a little crazy. Even Rod's mother, Sandra, she also, during the trial, suggested that Heather had a role in her parents' murders. She said, there's one person walking around who's just as guilty as he is. Kind of, like, inciting that Heather's just as much to blame. I don't know if she's just as much to blame, but she's definitely to blame also. His mom, Sandra, was never charged in connection with the double murder, which, I don't know. I mean, the judge said, I think Rod Farrell's mother should be on trial for some of this. I don't think she should be on trial for the murders because she wasn't there and didn't know about it, but she did fuck that kid up, like, but also her dad fucked her up. It's just a terrible cycle. So, a little bit of where Rod is today. In a 2020 response, he tried to get an appeal in 2019, and the judge found him, quote, irreparably corrupt, and he referred to the crimes as one of the most appalling that he's heard of. He says, I know, and this is Rod now testifying at his, like, trying to get parole or whatever. He says, I know nothing I say or do can bring them back. I hope you know just how truly sorry I am.
Did he apologize for the puppies, too?
I don't know about that. He freaking should. But yeah, for his role in the crimes, the other kid, Anderson, Karate Kid, he pleaded guilty to 2 counts of first-degree murder, and he was also sentenced to life in prison. His excuse, kind of, he told detectives that he just froze when Rod started attacking her parents. Like, he just felt scared and he froze and he didn't know what to do. He did later get his sentence reduced to 40 years behind bars. Charity Kesey was sentenced to 10 years in prison, while Dana Cooper received a 17-year sentence. And both women since have been released. But yeah, Rod is still serving out his life sentence at the Central Florida Reception Center in Orlando, Florida. And he'll be there for the rest of his life, as he should. So, crazy freaking story. Crazy events, I should say. I'm like, don't join cults.
Yeah, let's not do that.
No, let's join positive groups, not blood drinking, puppy stomping, parent murdering kind of groups, you know? If someone tells you they're a 500-year-old vampire, really think about it. I'm just saying. Really take a moment to think if you really believe them or not.
Speaking of cults, I finished the Joy Beth Lentz book.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good book. I've been kind of, I don't know if we talked about it last episode. I think we did, you know, 45 minutes ago. about my kids liking Chad Michael Murray and One Tree Hill. Yeah, all the feels, right?
Right.
So I did the Audible 3 months for 99 cents. You get a book, whatever. And I originally did it because I wanted to share a book.
Okay.
So I read the Cher biography. Love the Cher biography. It's part one. I'm waiting for part two. She's the queen. Take a bow. Okay.
Everybody bow.
And then, so for my next one, I bought her book, and I was listening to it, and it's just like, it's crazy because most of her life, she was stuck in, excuse me, that one was on me, that wasn't Phoebe.
Phoebe is not in the room, I can confirm.
Excuse me. She was stuck in a church cult, and they were bankrupting her. They were taking her money, and they were spending it, and, you know, they were gaslighting her and making her feel, like, so, like, I was apologetic, and I'm sorry, and what did I do, and maybe I should, and this and that, and she wasn't tight with her parents, and one was living over here, and the other one was over there, and so this cult was like her family, so to speak, and she was so desperate for love, and I'm just like, oh, baby girl, I just wanted to give her a little hug, because yeah. She seems like a very sweet person in real life, and her character, she was a sweet person on the show. While the two main girls were the hot, you know, tight pants, half shirts, she was more of the one with morals and wanted to wait till marriage for sex and, like, all the stuff. And I feel like that was kind of her character in real life. And it's just, like, freaking cults, man. Like,
they take some of the sweetest people, seriously.
But luckily she did wake up and, you know, she got out and she, you know, but... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I didn't read her book, but I did watch her. She also had an episode on Call Her Daddy where she, I'm sure she gets way more into it in the book, but she definitely touched on some things. And I'm like, that is so sad because it's so crazy because I feel like when people think of cults, they think of a story like the teen vampire one where they're drinking each other's bloods and like murdering people and stuff. But really, a cult... it's just a group that's really manipulating and mind controlling you. And it could be so subtle where you don't even realize where you're like laughing, like, this is not a cult.
Yeah. I mean, and this was like religion, Bible, church, mm-hmm. everything she grew up on church. Right. So, you know.
Yeah. So she's not going to think that it's a cult, but it's like once a bunch of things happen, like you said, they made her go bankrupt. It's like, those aren't good people. They're manipulating you and using you and... yeah, it's just sad.
And the funny thing is, like, at the end of the day, they took, like, millions probably from her, lots. Like, everything she earned from One Tree Hill was probably spent as fast as she was getting it.
Damn.
And she ended up getting away. She got a house for her and her daughter. She was a single mom. And the lawyer was like, we can sue. It could take years. It could take money, blah, 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 this and that. Or you could just walk away, blah, blah, blah. And, like, they gave her all these ultimatums. And I think at the end of the day, she was just like, you know what? I'm out. I'm done. Next chapter of my life, I'll move on. I'll, you know, go back to work, whatever. You know, because it cost her big jobs, too. Like, her dream on Broadway.
Yeah.
She wanted to be in.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember which one it was she wanted to be.
But didn't they, like, stop her?
I think it was
like
Beauty and the Beast.
Scheduling conflicts with them or something.
I think she wanted to be Belle from Beauty and the Beast. And she finally got the offer, and then they ended up talking her out of it and, like, all the stuff. And, you know, then she walked away. She was going to walk away from One Tree Hill. She just felt like she was outgrowing it. And then they talked her to, you know, no, you should probably go back, stay on the show, because they wanted the money,
of course, you know. Of course, yeah.
Which I'm glad she stayed on the show because I love her.
Right, right.
But
yeah, total.
It's just like, and it was just like a small, tiny group. There was like 8 of them. You know what I mean? But they made her feel like a family. They made her feel like, you know, she called them, I think she called them Papa something or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Didn't she marry like the leader's son?
Yeah. And then ended up being toxic.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, he started to get, you know, close to abusive and, you know, if not abusive, I can't remember if he actually hurt her. I think it was just mostly yelling and screaming and breaking things.
Right.
Like, not her. And I think in the book...
More mentally, vocally abusive as opposed to physically.
Yeah. I think it quoted, like, she said, like, his dad told her, they talked about it. And he's like, well, you know, I told him isn't it better to put a punched a wall than to punch a woman. You like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like her baby doesn't need to be around then and see that. And how long before that wall gets tiring and then it becomes her, you know? Like,
right.
I don't know. I'm just glad she's out, and I'm glad, you know, she's finding her life again, you know?
Yeah, because you could tell, I mean, just from like the interview that I watched, she just genuinely seems like a sweet person.
She does. And the other two, like the girls that was it Haley Burton, she played Peyton, and Sophia Bush, who played Brooke, they tried to include her and be friends with her. And she started a relationship with Brooke. They both adopted puppies on the same day. And, you know, they had, you know, this road trip, and they started to make a connection. But then she isolated herself. She did. She isolated herself from the cast because they were sinning because of this and this and, you know, and her co-star Nathan, you know, said, you know, she was saying how he was a sweet guy, and Chad Michael Murray on and off screen, and, well, not the beginning of the season, he wasn't a sweet guy, but off screen, you know, they were trying to be there and help her and talk to her, and but the church was stronger at gaslighting her, you know? And it just sucks because she knows she missed out on so much, you know?
Right.
And she was so young. She's like 19, 20, 21, 22.
Oh, there's got to be so many people in situations that have happened or are currently happening where they're in a cult or have been in a cult. And it's like, I feel like the moment of realization has to be so wild for them.
I know.
Because like, to just realize like, oh, I am totally, have been so manipulated in every way. It must just feel like robbery.
Well, good thing I'm too lazy to be in a cult.
Me too.
My attention span is not that long.
Right, I'd be like, let's do something else. Or, like, I think we're gonna do something else. We're not gonna.
I'm like, wait, we're meeting like at night? Like,
yeah.
How late? Like.
Can we change the time of the meeting?
The fact that it's 11:30 at night, I mean, Crystal are both still sitting up straight talking to you guys.
I know. Dedication.
On a weekday, like.
We're in our own cult. But we do fun things, not bad things.
Yeah, we do fun things about talking about other people's toxic stuff.
Exactly. We're not ours.
We talk about other people's shit shows.
Not ours.
Well, that's offline talk, right. You know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, guys, thank you for sticking around for the crazy train of the teen vampire.
And we will be back with a whole new episode.
Heck yeah. So stay tuned.
And don't buy M tickets so we can.
Yeah, save the tickets for us. Or buy them for us if you love us that much.
Yeah, do that.
Do that. We like that.
Do that. Yeah, send us money so we can go see Eminem. My burn, my burn.
We'll attach our Venmos.
My burn.
Well, on that note, guys, stay creepy.
Bye.
Bye.